So when I was a kid, I wanted to be a superhero. I was really into comic books. Spider-Man, the Hulk, Superman, the Avengers, Fantastic Four. And I would ride my bike every day to Charlie's Market. And I'd flip through the comic books just to see if there was a new one or one I had missed or another possibility for something. And eventually, because I wanted to be a superhero, I prayed for it. I said, so God, here's the deal. I'm going to give you 20 minutes to give me superpowers. And you can give me whatever powers you want, but I'm open to invisibility and fire, not so much. And I had all these scenarios laid out. You know what would be cool, God, is if it ended up at school somehow. And I rescued everyone. And this girl at school, if she got superpowers, we could be a team. So anyway, the reason why I'm not levitating right now and sending out ice bridges to everyone is because I didn't get them. But I think now, like, it wasn't so fantastical for me to think these things because I was being raised by hippies. And they were constantly telling me things like, if we all hold our hands together and send out love vibrations, this building will rise up and spin around. So I was like, okay. And my dad was, like, into ESP and astrology and numerology, and he was always telling me these things. And so we had, a couple years before, become hippies, and what they do is they migrate in groups, and we had moved from the comforting city streets of Chicago to, like, the Ozarks of Illinois, and people started living in the forest and building their own houses and harvesting ginseng, but it was all pretty cool to us as kids, because they were high all the time, and they liked to color with us, and they would say things grown-ups don't usually say, like, do you want more chocolate cake? And I'd be like, just frosting this time. Thank you. And so through all of this, these groups came down. They're with us in my life. And my dad was a searcher, and he had sort of come full circle at some point, and he was back to the Bible. And he was in the bathroom one day, and he was, like, staring at his face in the mirror for a long time. And he had, you know, had experience doing acid, so he was willing to, like, go at it. And his face started melting. And all of a sudden, he saw, like, this evil, this demon face. And he had just been reading the New Testament, so he'd said, no, in Jesus' name, I cast you out, gone. And he snapped out of it, and he left the bathroom, and he went in the kitchen. I know this story because from numerous prayer meetings and things, this was my dad's conversion story. He left the kitchen, and my mom was like, are you okay? And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, I just heard a big slam. It sounded like you fell or something in the bathroom. The wall shook. And he's like, no. So the interesting thing for me thinking back on this now is that within months, everyone went from being long-haired hippies to being long-haired hippie Jesus freaks. You just follow that natural arc. And so, which again at first was cool, not so much coloring, but they would come to our kitchen and tell stories, like their conversion stories. They'd been really felt this force, and they would also tell their, like, horrible drunken stories beforehand, and it was all real fun. But then, because it was a prayer meeting, they would pray. And then, you know, because they were hippies, they wanted the full experience. They wanted, you know, Pentecostal, bring the Holy Spirit on. I want to heal people. I want to feel it. I want to speak in tongues. And that's when I would go in the other room. And they would go along, like 20, 40 minutes, which, as you know, with kids, like, you want to pester your parents for, like, food and water and stuff, but they're, like, you know, in the throes of it. 10 more minutes. So eventually it was sort of known that, noticed that I would hang out for all the talking and leave at prayer time. And so sort of everyone else had been converted. So I was being more and more encouraged to do this. And around this time, my dad asked me to help him and we were carrying boxes of books to back behind the shed where we burn things in this barrel. And we're going to burn his books. And these weren't like hidden books or anything like that. These are my dad like read at the kitchen table. So these were like books I knew, books I had seen all my life, like in the bathroom and stuff. And they had pictures in them. So I looked at, oh, there's pyramids. All of this we were burning now. And so I naturally asked my dad, and what's going on? And he's like, well, you know, these things, they're this other belief system. They're like astrology and stuff. And if I'm going to get like this pure conduit to God, I can't like pretend that I also still, or even pretend, or actually still believe in these other things. I have to, you know, just believe in this or else I'm separating myself. And it also is true for other things. Like if you think too much about your job or too much about money, you're not getting... You know, you're not connecting with God. You're not connecting with that spirit. Anything you think more about than God is a problem. So I was still thinking about superheroes all the time and wanting to be one. And so I was like, superheroes? And he's like, well, you know, if you're thinking about it more. So, it took me a while. You know, I would read my comic books, but I sort of now felt like something was wrong. I was doing this wrong. And so after a couple days, and let me just say, like, how much I love this cardboard box that my comic books were in. It was so, like, crunched down in the corners, and it was soft like a blanket. And but I took it back to that burning barrel. And I think it was, like, I was hoping, like, for this Abraham moment where, like, the angel would come and go, no, don't light that match. But I lit it. And they burned. And I didn't necessarily feel great about it, but I thought, well, okay, this is my sacrifice. And within a couple days then, I'm at my kitchen table. I'm with my dad, and I'm with this guy that could have been my older brother. He was like 10 years older than me. He had lived with our family. He taught me how to like throw a football and catch a button hook pass. And this other man, and they were like, they had heard my story. They were already telling my comic book story to other people. It was sort of a manifestation of all my dad was believing in. And so this was my moment. I was like, okay, I could get Christian powers and heal people and do things, and that could be cool too. Seemed like a lot of persecution went along with it, but fine. I'm just going to do it. And so we're holding hands and closing eyes around this round table. And my mom had kind of explained, you know, you start out speaking tongues. You're just sort of priming the pump. And so I got my eyes closed. And I sound like American Indian. I'm sorry. Which I was conscious of. I was like, okay, not too many syllables in a row. And I was breaking up. And each time I did it, like the men at the table were sort of like getting supercharged. Like, yes. And then so I was like, okay, because I really want God to just hit me with this thing, because I couldn't even look in the mirror anymore because I was worried I'd see something. So I was like, God's going to fill me with the Spirit. It's all going to be cool. I'm going to feel it, and then we'll just go from there. And so I kept going, and they kept going, and in the end, I was just, nothing happened. Nothing happened again. But they were so filled with the Spirit by the end of that prayer, and they were just like, that was amazing, and they were congratulating me. And I felt like a total phony, and I felt horrible because they felt great. And so I pretty much stopped, like, going to the prayer meetings and stuff because I couldn't, like, feel that feeling. And I had also knew that God had seen something in me. God had recognized that I wasn't ready. Everyone else had been converted and felt these things. And God just knew that I still wanted my comic books. And I didn't want to do these things. And so for years afterwards, like, I came from a pretty big house that was chaotic. Like, if I came home and I couldn't hear anything, I would, like, know that the rapture had happened. The God had taken all the good people, and this is how it was going to be. I was going to be the last one. And I wasn't going to go to the bad side, and I was just going to try to do the best I could and, like, hope God cut me a break. And I would just live with my demons and figure it out. And but then I'd listen and I'd hear like a baby crying, and I'd think like, oh, okay, well, God would have taken a baby, so everything is pretty much still going on the way it is. So thank you.